OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. This show is for Parshat Shemot, the beginning of the book of Shemot, the book of Exodus. Today, we're recording and first broadcast Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 18th of Tevet, 5768, the 27th of December on the secular calendar. A major portion of this show will be a recording that I made a short while ago to the Torah Tidbits folders after they finished folding, so you won't hear that click of their folding crease knife straightener in the background. It was nice of them to have stayed. It's the content of the lead tidbit in the hard copy and the regular printed Torah Tidbits. But it's something that I feel very, very strongly about sharing whenever the occasion arises, and Parshat Shemot, as you will see, is one of those occasions. But first, Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tehiyena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yoh Adonai miya amod, ki imacha hasalicha lema'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivata nafshi v'lidvoro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanutunim batzara uvashivya haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha hamakom yirachem aleihem viyotzeim mitzara lirvacha umiafela laora umishibud lagula hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv vinomar amen. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start at the end and then hopefully have enough time to play that recording I referred to earlier of my shiur, mini shiur to the folders, and let's do it like this. In light of some things that I actually mentioned in that shiur, if we get to it or not, doesn't matter. There is a concept in Jewish literature, rabbinic literature, I don't know exactly how to describe it, called putting the refuah kodem lamaka, to put the cure before the disease. Once you set down the cure, you can have the disease because you know that you'll be able to cure it, something like that. In a different way, this week's Torah reading of Shemot is the beginning of our exile. The brothers, Yaakov Avinu and the brothers and their families, went down to Egypt. There they flourished into a large multitude. And at the very beginning of the book of Shemot, they are enslaved and oppressed in Egypt. That is galut, exile. It's an exile that we have suffered on and off since then, to this very day. The Haftarah, the reading in the prophets of Parshat Shemot for Ashkenazim, comes from the book of Yeshayahu. And it has the famous, well-known verse, for those who know it, V'hoya bayom hahu, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great shofar shall be blown, and those shall come who were lost in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. V'hoya bayom hahu yitaka b'shofar gadol, uva'u ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur v'hanidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim, V'hishtachavu l'Hashem b'har ha-kodesh b'Yerushalayim. The ingathering of the exiles is the way that we put the meaning of this verse, that Jews will come from lands where they are oppressed, as well as from lands where they flourish, both in exile, and return to Israel, and there serve God. In the papers yesterday and today, so you don't have to go too far back to see this, the most current events. This morning there was an ad welcoming 200 new Olim from North America. Those are the Nidachim Be'eretz Ashur. Those are the Ovedim Be'eretz Ashur. The Nidachim Be'eretz Mitzrayim are the 40 Iranian Jews that came yesterday, or that the paper reported came yesterday. There was a whole discussion as to whether it was a good idea to publicize it or not. Not relevant. We have witnessed and continue to witness, thank God, the return of the exiles, the ingathering of the exiles, the fulfillment of V'hoya Bayom Hahu Yitaka B'Shofar Gadol. It is not yet the completion of the ingathering of the exiles. That will be in the Geula Shlema, the complete redemption. But Jews are coming back slowly, slowly, slowly back to Eretz Yisrael. That is the goal. That is the end of the story that begins in Parshat Shemot with our being plunged into servitude. First, I would like to play a piece of a Shlomo Kalbach melody on this verse, and then we'll talk more. Now, a subcategory of the whole topic of the ingathering of the exiles is the coming to Israel of Jews from the former Soviet Union. This movement, the Soviet Jewry movement, began maybe beginning of the 70s, maybe earlier than that. The slogan for the movement was, "Let my people go." It is based upon a pasuk repeated several times in these week's readings. The first time we find in the end of this week's reading, V'achar ba'u Moshe v'Aharon, afterwards Moshe and Aharon came, V'yomeru el paro, they said to Pharaoh, Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, thus says the God of Israel, Shalach et ami, let my people go. Send out my nation, v'yachogu li b'midbar, and they will serve me in the wilderness. Triple SJ it was called, the student struggle for Soviet Jewry. It bore beautiful fruits all the way through until the demise of the Soviet Union and the flood of immigrants. None of this is without problems, but that's not the point. The point is it was a significant part of this ongoing process of the ingathering of the exiles. And I want to play now a song that I copied from a cassette onto my digital recorder, and finally have it available to put onto the recording of this show. It's a dated piece, but it's something that I think, since it was written in the depths of the Soviet Jewry problem, when they were not allowed to leave, and the plea was to get them out, and then that met with various and sundry successes until, as I mentioned, the doors were open. And it's still an ongoing process, so it's more than 30 years, 35, 40 years even, that Jews have been coming out of the Soviet Union, sometimes fewer and sometimes in large numbers. This is a song from an album by JEP, Jewish Educational Program, I think it was. And it's just the melody is something that has always attracted me, and the words are very, very beautiful as well. I hope that the words will come across. I imagine some of the listeners will even remember the song, but it puts a certain perspective on our beginning of Parshat Shemot, when we hear God telling Moshe and Aaron to go before Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go," to much more recent times when we said to the Soviet authorities, "Let my people go." And we continue to this very day to say, wherever Jews are who are not able to leave, "Let my people go." And of course, the other side of that same coin are the places where Jews are free to go, and they should be encouraged to come as well, of course. Let's focus in again. It's the Jewish Education Program. JEP sings Reach Out. That was the name of the album. The song is Dear Nikolai, which is in the form of a personal letter, like a pen pal letter, from an American Jewish child to his pen pal in Soviet Russia.
Baruch Hashem, Yom Dalet, Chaf Zayin Sivan, Tav Shin Lamed Gimel, New York City, Dear Nikolai.
How are you, my dear Nikolai? What's new behind the iron wall? In this letter I'll write to you of life as a free Ben Yisrael. Early, sweet sounds of children learning Torah, davening Avodas Hashem. Oh, what a beautiful Asala. Your life is my song. Hey, Jesus.
Let's put it like this. Return to Eretz Yisrael is still a struggle. It's a different kind of struggle for different people from different places, but it's still a struggle. It is not an easy thing to do, but it is the right thing to do, and that makes all the difference. As I once in a while, or maybe more often than once in a while, do, I like to take the idea of the lead tidbit and expand it. There's just so much room that I could put it in writing. This is an idea that I've shared over and over again, and each time there's a slightly different way of looking at it. And it's an important message of chizuk and idud. Just looking around the table, there are people who need chizuk. Those are the people who already live here. Then there's idud for the people who don't yet live here. So that's the, we have a column in Torah Tidbits called Chizuk and Idud, which has a Dvar Torah related to Eretz Yisrael in the Parsha every week. And this is a major thrust of Torah Tidbits to the point where people have complained to me, enough of this Israel business. You know, there's other things to talk about. But it always reminds me of that line about the rabbi that was applying for a job in a shul, and he came and he met with the committee, and they said, look, Rabbi, you're going to be giving a sermon on Shabbat. We'd like to set a few guidelines. Bringing up the topic of Shabbat observance is not really a good idea because a lot of the congregation don't keep Shabbat. And I wouldn't talk about kashrut either because most people don't keep kosher. And intermarriage for sure don't even mention because half the congregation are intermarried. And he goes on and on and on. He says, so what should I talk about? Anything you want. Now, in next week's Sedra, and then I'll pull it back to Shmot. In next week's Sedra, you have the first, I don't know, major prophecy. God commands Moshe to approach the people of Israel and tell them the following. I am going to keep my promises to the patriarchs, and I also heard the cries of Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Lachain, therefore, Emor Livnei Yisrael, tell the people of Israel, Ani Hashem, I am God. V'hotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, I will take them out from under the oppression of Egypt. V'hitzalti etchem me'avodatam, I will save them from the labor there. V'go'alti etchem, and I will redeem them. Bizroa netuya, it's not really them, it's you, because God is telling Moshe to speak to the people. Etchem is plural you. I will redeem you with a mighty arm and with judgments and punishments on Egypt. That's one verse, which contains three terms of redemption from Egypt. But it continues. I will take you unto me as a nation. Whether God actually says unto, I'm not sure, but that's how they translate it. And I will be your God. And that's really two sides of the same coin. You will receive the Torah, and that's a mutual commitment. You to me, says God, and me to you. Vidatem, and you will know, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem hamotzi etchem mitachat siflot Mitzrayim. And you will know that I am the one who took you out of Egypt. Side point, because it's next week, but it's an important side point. In addition to taking the people out of Egypt, the people have to know who took them out of Egypt. And there's a lot that follows that emphasizes that point. Vidatem, and you will know that I took you out of Egypt. Not just you got out and then, you know, could have been any other way. It has to be that way. This is expressed very nicely in Pirkei Avot, where it says, Chiba, a nice thing that was done, was X, whatever it is. Chiba Yetera, an additional nice feature is that God told us we were created in the image of God. That's a chiba, a gift from God. But that he told us that he created us in his image, that's even more. And the same thing goes with Eretz Yisrael, and the same thing goes with Yitziat Mitzrayim, and the same thing goes to us and our children and our grandchildren. It's one thing that you love your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. It's an extra thing that you tell them this, that they know it. Not just by telling, but by actions. And that's an extra dimension which is part of this prophecy. not only Vahotzeiti Vahitzalti Vagaalti, I'll take you out, I'll redeem you, and I'll save you, but because I am bringing you unto me as a nation, and I am your God, you will know that it is I who took you out of Egypt. We'll get on to the third facet of God's plan after a short break. For those who are listening on the archived versions, there is no short break, but pretend that there was a news broadcast and announcements in between. You are listening to Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Shemot. We're towards the beginning of a mini shiur given earlier today. That's Thursday of the week. And let's pick it up where we left off. Third phase. Vehevati etchem el haaretz, I will bring you to the land. Asher nasati et yadi, the one I raised my hand in oath, so to speak. Lotet otal la'avram liyitzchak u'liyakov, that I promised I would give to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But it pasuk continues. Vinatati otah lachem morasha, I will give them to you. Give it to you. I'm not just saying, here's that which I promised your ancestors. I am giving it to you as a heritage, Ani Hashem, and it finishes the same way it started with Ani Hashem. Now, the reason I brought that up is because this is already previewed in this week's Sedra, when God appears to Moshe Rabbeinu at the bush. That's the first Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, what it says in that Nevuah is very significant, because it's the first in the whole start of Moshe's career as the greatest prophet of Israel and the leader. After the preliminaries, what's the preliminaries? Moshe is tending the sheep of Yitro, and he sees this unusual sight. And the way the Torah tells us, Vayera Malach Hashem Elav, an angel appeared to Moshe from the burning bush. The bush that he noticed was burning but not being consumed. And Moshe said, I gotta take a look at this amazing thing. And then, right away, Vayar Hashem, God saw. Like the Malach only was just to attract Moshe's attention. For whatever reason, God chooses to do it like that. And then God saw that Moshe turned to see. And God called to him from the sneh and said to him, Moshe, Moshe. And he answered, Hineni, here I am. Then he says, don't come closer, take off your shoes, etc., etc. Now here's the key. To me, if we're talking about what it means to be part of the Jewish people, this is an extremely urgent and important verse. God says, I have seen what's going on. Now, of course, what does that mean, I have seen? You didn't see it before, you know, but that's speaking anthropomorphically. Vayomer Hashem, I have seen what's happening, and I understand what's going on. Vo'ered, this is the Pasuk, Paragimel, Pasuk Chet, verse 8 of chapter 3 in Shemot. Vo'ered lahatzilo miyad Mitzrayim, I am going to go down to save them from the hand of Egypt. Ulahaloto el ha'aretz hahi, and to bring them, ulahaloto min ha'aretz hahi, to bring them up from that land, El Eretz Tova Urechava, to a good and expansive land, El Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. First time of 14 or 15 occurrences of Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. You all know the song. This is the first time it appears in the Torah as a description of El Mekom HaKena'ani VaHachiti VaHemori VaHaPrizi VaHachivi VaHayavusi, the land which is currently occupied by the seven nations. In one verse, not in two, and I find that extremely significant, in one pasuk, with a connecting V, U, an and, it says, I am going down to Egypt to take them up to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Not, I am going down to take them out of Egypt. And later he happens to mention, oh, by the way, I'm going to lead them to Eretz Yisrael. It's in the same breath, the same verse in the Torah. It's not even like Matan Torah, which comes a little bit later, a couple of psukim later. God says, as proof that I am taking you, that I am sending you into Egypt to tell the people that they're coming out, is Behotziacha et ha'am mimitzrayim, when you take the people out, Ta'avdun et ha'elokim al ha'har hazeh, you will serve God on this very mountain. Rashi says, Ta'avdun, that you will serve God, Shetekablu ha'torah alav, you will be receiving the Torah on this mountain, which was Har Sinai, also known as Chorev, whatever. If you want to combine them, which I do, which I think God did, he does it in the Vo'era next week's, you've got the plan, I talk about it a lot, to take us out of Egypt, to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, and on the way to give us the Torah in order to live a Torah life in Eretz Yisrael. But now let's look at the facts that we're all familiar with. What happened? 7 weeks of preparation from Yetziat Mitzrayim, even less than that, we had already started getting elements of the Torah, 2-3 weeks out of Egypt. Finally, we come to Sinai. That's 6 weeks out of Egypt. And then, at the end of that week, Matan Torah, revelation at Sinai. So the first part of the plan, I take you out of Egypt, done. The second part of the plan, you got the Torah, done. Now comes, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, the people said, oh, let's check it out, let's see what the best way to do it is, and you know what happens. What should have been for Eretz Yisrael is the same that happened for Torah. And it's very neat because you could put it in this way. The Torah was accepted by the people of Israel in two very special words, Na'aseh v'nishma. Eretz Yisrael should have been accepted in two very special words, which we find in the Torah uttered not by the entire nation in unison, but by Kalev ben Yefune, when he got up and he said about what the Meraglim said, don't listen to them. If God wants us there, this is the best place to be. This is, and we'll succeed. And his two words were, Alo Na'ale, let us go up. Had the people responded, Alo Na'ale, the same way that they responded, Na'aseh v'nishma, we'd be in much better shape than we are. What happened throughout history is, the Torah stays with us. It goes into Galut with us. We have Jewish community and Jewish life wherever we live. Sometimes easier, sometimes more difficult. But the pride that the Jewish people have of look at what we've created in the wilderness of Brooklyn, you know, or wherever the case may be. And by the way, even though I said it jokingly, because Brooklyn is a hotbed of Jewish life in many communities there, it wasn't 200 years ago, you know, when the first Jews came there, or 300 years or whatever. And there are places where Jews are still going in Galut and still creating a Jewish community. People say in out-of-town communities, oh, when I came here, there was Bekoshi 1 bakery that allowed the rabbi to come in and make kosher bread twice a week. And now we've got a Shomer Shabbos this and a restaurant and a 24-hour Dunkin' Donuts and a pizza shop and two pizza shops and a pizza shop you go to and a pizza shop you don't go to, you know, that kind of thing. And schools and shuls. When I first came to this community, there was one shul. And now, look at the choice that you have. So that's the Torah story. The Torah stayed with us, we kept it, it kept us. Even when we turned our back on it, it stuck around so that when we were ready to turn around, there it was. Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, and I believe it's because we didn't accept it as unconditionally as we accepted the Torah, Eretz Yisrael took the tough stand, as expressed in the Tochacha, of spitting us out if we didn't keep certain things. And certainly the history, even though it was, you know, the people who lived in the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, you know, looking in retrospect, if it was 410 years, it's a long time. But looking back in history, not from that period, we see they came to Eretz Yisrael, they had problems, they had peace, time of tranquility, then they had rough spots, then they got destroyed and kicked out and exiled and returned, and only some people returned, and on and on and on and on. to the second Beit HaMikdash with its problems and the destruction of that and the exile since then and the return now. One of the chilling things I always find is that the percentage of the Jewish population at the time of the first exile that returned to Eretz Yisrael is probably not that much different, or maybe even a little better, than the percentage of the Jewish population in our time that returned to Eretz Yisrael when it became easy to come. And you know the news of the last, today's post on the front page, welcome 200 North Americans. Yesterday the paper had an article on 40 Iranian Jews. Today, I don't know if you saw it yet, they had a whole discussion about why the government decided to let it be known, because it was very top secret, the kind of stuff. And they did it on purpose as a message to the Iranian Jewish community who's still there, that the time is coming soon where emigration is going to be prohibited and you're not going to be able to do these things and maybe get out now. But some people felt that this is going to hurt. Yeah. So, you know, Aliyah is still there, but the numbers are still problematic. And every time I speak to someone who goes back to the States and visit, the answer is the same thing. The community is getting more and more entrenched in itself. Less focus. I mean, there's still people that are always planning on Aliyah and still coming on Aliyah. But there are people who are not even pointed in this direction. What always echoes in my ear is what I heard two girls say, young women, I should say. We have everything we need for a complete Jewish life in Muncie, New York. Everything. So I suckered them in. I said, you mean shuls, yeah, mikveh, yeah, schools, yeah, kosher this, kosher that, this, that, the other thing, Eretz Yisrael, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean, what do I mean? You said you have everything you need for a complete Jewish life. What about living in Eretz Yisrael? Oh, not that, but everything else. You know, but the problem is the perception of everything we need doesn't include Eretz Yisrael. Shabbos, people would never consider living without Shmirat Shabbat. I'm talking about Shomer Shabbos people. People who sacrifice greatly for Shabbos observance and for Kashrut. And they strove for this and for that. And when you say Eretz Yisrael, they defend by saying we have three different dafyomis in my shul. Two in English and one in Hebrew. You could get it early in the morning and late at night. I said, that's very nice. You could learn dafyomi here in Israel also. But you could also live here in Israel. And then I tend to go a little, how shall I say, expansive on this topic. But it's like I say about a sukkah. One of the beauties of the mitzvah of sukkah is you could go in there the first night of Sukkot and say your Hineni Muchon HaMezuman, Ribono Shalolam passage, and make kiddush with great kavana, l'shem mitzvah sukkah, and make the brocha, l'shev basukkah, and during the meal, look up at the schach and feel both aspects of the mitzvah of sukkah, the heavenly clouds of glory, and the protection that God provided in actual Sukkot in the wilderness, and that's fine. And then the meal is finished, and during the meal you remember to say Shir HaMalot in the beginning, and Yalav Yavo in the middle, and Harachamon Hu Yokim Lanu at Sukkot David Hanofalet. Very nice. And after supper, you open up a chumash, and you go over the Torah reading for the next morning. Wonderful. And you learn with your children. And then one of your children says you want to play some chess, and you take out a chess set. And all this time, you are fulfilling the mitzvah. Not just when you had your first kazayat of hamotzi, but when you're playing chess with your grandson, in your sukkah, you're getting a mitzvah. And later, you're still in your sukkah, and you pick up the newspaper. And believe it or not, assuming you follow permission to read a newspaper on Yom Tov, you're getting a mitzvah of living in the sukkah when you read a newspaper. And then you doze off. And you are dead to the world, as the expression goes. Although, thinking about it, it's not such a nice expression. You are sleeping. And while you are sleeping, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishuv in the sukkah. Leishev basukkah. You can't say the same about achilat matzah. You eat your kazayit of matzah, you chew it, you swallow it, it's done. Mikra Megillah, you hear 45 minutes of Megillah reading, and it's done. Sukkah takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Timex watch. So too, but in a much more glorious way, Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael you get when you walk, when you stand still, when you sit, when you lie down, when you take a breath. Every single breath of air introduces, I forgot how many pints or liters of air in a breath. Was it 6 liters or something like that? Maybe not. Half a liter? I don't remember. Anybody remember how much air you breathe? Whatever. I used to teach it in biology. But it's air of Eretz Yisrael. And whatever you do here is part of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There aren't that many mitzvot that are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or in the modern language, 24/7. So that, but we blew it. We botched it badly by hemming and hawing, as my mother used to say. I hope that's a regular expression. And we didn't take it right away. We didn't say we will cling to Torah and we will cling to Eretz Yisrael. We had to be almost dragged in there and coaxed in there. And unfortunately, only some of the people went in with an enthusiasm that it deserves. So that's, to me, the message, not only of Va'era, not only of a whole bunch of other things, but of Shemot also, because right up front, God says it to Moshe, as if to say, this is the basis on which I am establishing Jewish nationhood. I'm going to take them out of Israel, out of Egypt, to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Now, you could argue, go to Parshat Yitro, Aseret HaDibrot, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mi'Beit Avadim. I would like to suggest, humbly, that needs to be expanded in our minds. I can't expand the Pasuk, that's what the Pasuk says. But if God took us out of Egypt in order to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, if he says in Va'era, say to the people, V'Hotzeiti V'Hitzalti V'Ga'alti V'Lakachti V'Heveti V'Natati, I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael, then that's part of what Yetziat Mitzrayim is. You cannot separate it. You can't say, thanks for getting me out of Egypt, goodbye, I'm on my own now. That's not the way it worked. God did not take us out of Egypt to leave us in the Midbar. He didn't take us out of Egypt not to give us the Torah. It wasn't a choice. It was part one, coming out of Egypt. Part 1b is Kriyat Yamsuf. Now you're in the Midbar safe. Part 2 is going to Sinai to receive the Torah. Part 3 is coming to Eretz Yisrael. The fact that we did parts 1 and 2 in 7 weeks, and part 3 the first time took 40 years, was our fault, not part of God's desire, so to speak. And the fact that it didn't stick was not part of his original plan either. It's got to be with our cooperation. We could not take Torah force down our throats either. It was our commitment of Naseh V'Nishma. Yes, they say, Kaf Aleihem Har Kigigit, the mountain was held over our heads, but there's reasons for that, and that's a whole discussion by itself. But basically, this was something that Avraham Avinu voluntarily accepted, a commitment to God, and passed it to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, and to the Shvatim, and to the multitude of people who came out of Egypt, which wasn't the entire nation, unfortunately. Even then, it was only 20%, according to the Medrash. 4/5 of the people died in Egypt. And that, by the way, fits into the statistics of the return by Ezra and Nehemiah in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, with about 20% came back, and 80% chose to stay in Bavel. And I don't know exactly the statistics, what percentage of the Jewish population now, if you look at the population of Israel compared to the Jewish population of the rest of the world, we're getting close to the halfway point, where we're not even there yet. But certainly the number of Olim who answered the call of Aliyah from the United States of America compared, how many Jews from North America are now living in Eretz Yisrael as Olim, Old Olim or New Olim? What do you think? How many? No. How many American, meaning Canadian and United States of America, Jews have come to live in Israel since 47, since 1940, since 39, I don't know, whatever. How many people? How many Jews? Are there a million Jews? No. They're not. Half a million? I would doubt that. But, you know, a couple of 100,000, let's say. But even a half a million, with an American population of 5 to 6 million, and at one time it was over 6 million, but let's say even 5 million. A half a million is 10%. So, yes, the Jews in Russia have a higher percentage of those that came here, or certainly from the Arab countries over the years of statehood. But looking at it from our perspective as North Americans, less than 10% of the American Jewish community over all of these years have come to live in Eretz Yisrael. So statistically, it was like that with Egypt, it was like that with Babylonia, and it's like that with the United States. One important comment that I wanted to add to what I have already said, and that is all of the above was not a lament, but it was a challenge. Everything bad that has happened to the Jewish people, whether we messed up with Chet HaMeraglim and were doomed to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and we brought about the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash and a poor return for the second, and the destruction of the second in exile. Of course it's lamentable, but more important, most important, I believe, is that we still have the ability to do something about it. God has his agenda. We believe that we have to take an active part in the process of Geula. Otherwise, God will take whatever preordained time there is and bring about the final redemption his way, so to speak. We can, A, bring it sooner, and B, I believe, bring it in a much more pleasant way by being ready for it. You pour boiling hot water into cold glasses, they'll break. You warm up the glass, and you pour the same hot water in it, and the glass will not break. We have to do our share of warming up the Jewish world, the fellow Jews, wherever they are, towards Torah, towards each other, towards the land of Israel, and then the Geula process can take full hold, because then we'll be ready for it, and there won't be any reason to delay further. As usual, there are a zillion other things I would have liked to share with you in this show. I hope that it did have its effect of Chizuk and Idud. We need them both. I didn't translate them before. Chizuk is strengthening from a position where you're already in, but maybe wavering, to be strong. Idud is to encourage people, and Jews in Israel and out of Israel all need that chizuk and idud. On that note, have a Shabbat Shalom, lehishtameach.